Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 129 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We're going to start in entertainment, talking about the Kenobi set and the upcoming plans for Viacom CBS set to debut on March 4th. Then we'll move over into some tech news, where we'll discuss the Defense Intelligence Agency gathering smartphone data without warrants, some threats from the new Treasury Secretary about Bitcoin, some space news, and robots. A lot to get to. Let's get going.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 129, and what's going on here this week? Not a very busy week. We've got, no major releases or anything going on. I think, this was the week that the sun set on Wonder Woman, as that shows the plans of HBO Max that they're only opening things for 30 days and then closing it back out, making that timing to sign up. But I also canceled my HBO Max subscription yesterday because that was 30 days since I watched Wonder Woman. So I no longer have it anyway.
I wonder what the thought process behind that is, the 30 days. Like, they're sure as shit not doing it to help theaters.
No, yeah. I bet it's just an arrangement with the actual studios themselves that it drops off HBO Max, probably so that way they can still have like a, the Blu-ray 4K release that's exclusive, and it's not like, I'm sure has to do with the studios themselves. And it also probably benefits their streaming service that, here come in the spring and summer when they're going to start releasing a lot of movies, then you can't just say, all right, well, I'll just wait 3 months when they're all on the service, then I can watch them all together. No, you're going to have to actually do it month by month.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Every time I walk into a Target or any place with a DVD section and I see the whole Disney section, I just laugh now, like, going to get me to buy a disc? I got a 3-year Disney Plus subscription. Who do you think you're trying to fool?
Yeah, it really, eventually you got to think that a lot of that business is just going to die. Quit making them. Some people still want to own their discs. I don't know why.
Certain things I do, like, is I want the 4K and I want the digital access. Not everything is on a streaming service, so I still see value in buying certain movies. I had to buy Tenet if I wanted to watch Tenet again. But as far as, like, the Disney lineup, like, I would have to see a list of what's on Disney Plus and what's not, and, like, what movies you need to have access, to buy a disc. I'm sure there's a few. Can't be much, though.
I was gonna say, I don't really think it's very much at all anymore. The streaming services are going to dominate everything here. We've got another streaming service coming out here soon. That's one of our first stories to talk about here. And that's Viacom CBS. They're killing the CBS All Access streaming service that they started last year. It kind of like famously released, really the only big thing that it released with was like Picard. And they're now kind of killing that branding as they realized that CBS was not strong enough to pull in people themselves. It just was a flop of a streaming service. And they're now repackaging it, coming out on March 4th with Paramount Plus. Because I guess everything just has to be Plus now.
Plus.
I guess that's just a thing. Everything has to be Plus.
Well, HBO went Max.
Yeah,
like we got Plus and Max. And then just Peacock. But I'm all for this idea. Like you said, I didn't see much value in getting CBS. I've never been a big Trekkie. I did want to watch them, but not so much that I'd subscribe to another streaming service. When I can't tell you exactly what movies I will watch on that service, but growing up throughout my life, I do vividly remember those stars swooshing around that mountain for a lot of movies I like.
Yeah.
So I might sign up for the Paramount Plus because there's bound to be something on there I like.
Yeah, I for sure there's going to be Paramount movies, Paramount spin-offs that they're going to probably do. They're going to probably try to copy off of everybody else's model and take some of their greatest kind of properties that they own and build some kind of spinoff off of it. We know that they did Picard. They plan another Star Trek options coming out of there. They had a recent commercial I saw on YouTube about the release of this, and yeah, like they're showing like the front facing of it is, you know, they had walking up a mountain, essentially, you know, the Star Trek characters walking up a mountain, and then they had all kinds of, you know, SpongeBob walking up and all kinds of other properties that they have, just demonstrating that they have it, right? So they're going to have Nickelodeon packaged with this. They're going to have their major things like Star Trek, but then they also own everything from CBS, some live news. They're going to package their live sports, they said, inside of this. So there they're going to provide live sports through Paramount Plus.
I'm not going to lie. I don't have Nickelodeon on my Hulu Live package, and I would have watched the Bears game on that Nickelodeon sportscast. Not going to lie, I would have. Like,
I did for a little bit, and even my kids didn't really care for it. But no, I like the idea of it.
I want to support it. It seems like a good idea to get kids into live sports and give them something to, instead of, I just know how disappointed my kids are every Sunday when they're like, "Daddy, can we watch YouTube videos?" I'm like, "Fuck. It's fucking football on. What the fuck is your problem?" And they just give me this like, "Oh shit, football again." Like, so yeah, maybe it'll get them to actually want to sit down with dad and watch a couple games.
Yeah. Well, right now we don't really know much about the cost and everything else, but March 4th it'll release. The head of CBS Digital, I guess, previously stated that there would be no change in the pricing model from CBS All Access, which was $5.99 with ads or $9.99 without, kind of like the Hulu model there. But a recent spokesperson said, "You'll hear more about pricing on February 24th. So who knows what in the end that price point is going to fall at for Paramount
Plus. Yeah, like these motherfuckers, man, they get me every time. So I got the Peacock for $4.99, so I had access to everything, and that's when I started watching Suits. I was like, you know, hey, this is supposed to be a good show. It's got like 9 seasons. Never watched an episode. I'm gonna pound this out. I didn't realize how valuable my Hulu non-commercial package was until I watched 9 seasons of Suits with fucking with commercials. And I just started quantifying in my head the amount of time I'm watching commercials pounding out these seasons versus the 5 extra dollars I would have to pay a month. They almost got me to pull the trigger a couple times, I swear to God. Like, I was just like, you know, this is my third episode of Suits right now. I'm like 25 minutes of commercials in. You know, my life, this half an hour of my life is worth more than $5 this month.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's not worth my money. I'll keep my Hulu commercials coming. I still haven't done Peacock. Probably won't. I don't know.
There's a free version, isn't there? Like, I don't know what you get on the free version, but I thought there was a free Peacock, a $5.99 Peacock, or $4.99 Peacock, and then the $10.
Yeah, there is a free version. It's limited in what you get. I don't think you get a lot of like their kind of back.
Just enough to wet your beak. Just enough to wet your beak.
But we'll see.
I'm going to start Chicago PD sometime soon. That's another one that's got a bunch of seasons I never watched, and I am in episode 6. So I feel kind of obligated to maybe give that show a shot, considering they did employ me for an episode.
Yeah, that's right. What were you, like a bouncer?
I was a bouncer. I strayed so far from my real life for my acting role that they hired my big dumb ass as a bouncer again.
Well, you got a type. Yeah, I guess that's enough on Paramount Plus. We'll find out more as far as what they're going to release with it. I'm sure as they get closer to March 4th, they'll talk about some of their future plans and original content they plan to bring to it. But right now, we just know it's coming. And we can talk a little bit about some other streaming stuff. As you know, Disney Plus, we still don't really have a release date for Kenobi, but we know that the set is massive and it's been created. And we know this because apparently some local villagers around the set that they're using for Kenobi have been very upset about this. I'm trying to find the name of this weird town here, but in the end, they've built the massive set. It's going to be very similar to like a Mandalorian, how they're using essentially, you know, the big gigantic real life sets that they're putting together. Not a lot of CGI or whatever else they're sticking to the Mandalorian style.
Yeah, no green screens.
Yeah, no green screens. And the town at which they built it around, it's in this quarry because everybody expects, obviously, for this series to be centered around Tatooine. So it's going to be this desert, ugly planet again. And the town is saying that it's going to disrupt their life for 3 years. It's like this quiet little town. And they're very disappointed in the size of the set, in bringing together kind of this massive production team through their town for the next, what they said, 3 years, which I'm all for it. Like, let's do Kenobi for 3 years, or let's do Tatooine or at least film for 3 years, for 3 years, right? Years, like, yeah, maybe Kenobi starts it and then some of the Mandalorian goes back to it or whatever it happens to be. But yeah, let's keep this going.
Yeah, these kinds of stories usually tug at my two sides, my I don't want to be an asshole side and my asshole I don't give a fuck side. Like, it's at some point, like, you know, I think, like, well, how bad are they really wrecking it? Like, are we talking about just, like, you know, a couple weeds and people are just being over dramatic because they can and they want to? Or is it really, like, totally fucking up the landscape? So, because I know what Weta did for New Zealand, and Weta took care of the land, and you don't really hear complaints coming out of New Zealand. People now visit those places as tourist attractions, and I'm sure the businesses in that village that, you know, Weta tore up isn't mad that they got an extra 20,000 people coming a year spending money in their shops. So I get a little torn on these stories, like, just because I do want them to respect, you know, the area and the people that live there and that are that live there long before and will live there long after the show. But at the same time, it's like, what are we really bitching about here, folks? Like,
yeah, no, I found the name. It's Little Marlow, Buckinghamshire is the town that we're talking about here. And I don't care about you, Little Marlow. Like, I'll be upset if I find out, like, hey, they're going to, you know, they're going to try to go recreate some, you know, some Ewok homes. They're going to cut down parts of the Amazon to go build this set. All right, well, maybe then I think we probably could have found a better way. But to use an unoccupied, no longer being used quarry outside some little town, Little Marlow, like, this is the best thing that happened to you, Little Marlow. Yeah,
and
like,
isn't it the fact that it's a quarry? Doesn't that mean that y'all motherfuckers were blowing shit up here before we were? Like, isn't the fact that it's in a quarry state that, like, you people fuck this place up digging for rocks before we came here? Now we're just going to use the hole in the earth that y'all motherfuckers created? Like, I don't get how they can bitch about, you know, you're fucking up the hole that we blew in the earth.
I don't know. Well, but it does. They do have a set picture, like an aerial picture of this set. And I mean, it's fairly huge as far as what they've built, the construction they've put into a bunch of structures and markets and everything else. So it definitely looks interesting. I think this town will definitely get over it because money will solve the problem here as they throw an Disney throws an influx of money to Buckinghamshire to silence them.
Yeah, I just don't fuck it up too bad. Give me Obi-Wan. Let's make a great show. Let's make fans happy. But at the same time, you know, like, you gotta bend the knee a little bit. Let them have their moment in shine. Like, the people want to be heard. So, you know, throw a little money at it. Let's keep this train rolling.
And then another potential major series. So this has got picked up by just about every entertainment news section in the country that a Harry Potter TV series is apparently in early development at HBO Max. I don't think this is a surprise. It's been talked about for a long time that there's going to be a Harry Potter spinoff in TV. Now it's seeming like it's actually moving forward in development at HBO Max, although they haven't announced any directors or showrunners or anything about it. So I think this makes sense. Like, this makes absolute sense that HBO Max is going to do this at some point in time. They probably are in talks about how to make it work, but not a lot of details out there about it.
There's not too many major franchises that don't have ongoing TV series anymore. You know, like, we have a Star Wars TV universe, we have a Marvel TV universe, we're getting a Lord of the Rings TV universe, you know,
we've got a DC universe. You always skip it.
Do we? wasn't sure if we were counting that one.
We've got multiple DC universes. Yeah, it's not just one.
Like,
but the HBO Max DC universe that they're trying to build out to, we know that they've already got a Peacemaker series spinning off of Suicide Squad. There's already they've been greenlit for a Green Lantern series. Supposedly a Justice League Dark series is also coming to HBO Max. And then in this article that I read about them doing a Harry Potter series, it also talked about how there are other things in the works that are known that I just wasn't on my radar. Apparently there's a TV show or series that they're doing in HBO Max surrounded by the Shining, going off of that world there.
Off the Dr. Sleep movie and everything that they got. Yeah.
So I guess they're going to build a series off of that.
Wheel of Time series is coming on Amazon, I think, too. Like, yeah, we're going to get that big Wheel of Time series.
Eventually. The casting news for that came out like 2 years ago. But, and then apparently a Dune spinoff after the Dune release is supposed to come out about a very specific, character group within the Dune series is apparently also in the works. So HBO Max is definitely, again, following that Disney thing that, hey, every major property you own, just dump it on the streaming service in a longer format.
When am I going to get my Cosmere fucking movies and TV shows? God damn it. I want my Mistborns. I want my whole Cosmere. Yeah. Give Brandon Sanderson a pile of goddamn money. And let's make some dope shit.
Yeah, I guess he's gotten close in the past about adapting it. He's writing right now.
He's writing the Mistborn screenplay. He's writing it.
nobody was doing it for him. Nobody was bringing him some great thing that he was excited about that he could sell off. So he's doing it himself. And we'll see. He talks about the fact that he doesn't know how to write a screenplay. I could write 20,000 words. I can't necessarily write a screenplay.
Last little bit of entertainment thing that came out that's not on the outline is the Kong versus Godzilla trailer dropped this week. That's quite exciting.
Yeah, that's another HBO Max development there coming out, exclusive? I think, in March. theater and HBO Max. It does look, it looks as great as expected, I guess.
People just have too much time to bitch about everything. I think since we're done with the election cycle, everyone's just clamoring to complain and cry. You got a lot of pushback on, like, what, Godzilla's the bad guy now? Or, like, King Kong wasn't that big in the originals. He's not as big as Godzilla. Like, people are actually, like, pulling out references and stats and, like, how this doesn't make sense and da-da-da. So much so that they've had to release articles, like, giving away shit of the movie just to tell everyone to shut the fuck up. Like, no, Kong is as good as big as Godzilla. The Skull Island movie takes place in the 50s. It's now 2020. It's been, it's been 50 years. He grew a little. Like, let's all calm down. Like, he was just a teenager in Skull Island. Now he's, full grown, Kong. Like, and it's like, I didn't even want to know that. I didn't even want, like, you goddamn babies. Can we just wait for the fucking movie? Can we just wait for the fucking movie? Like, no, you had to cry so goddamn much that they had to put out a fucking press release. Like, you fucking crybabies.
And they're probably going in and re-editing the movie right now, or adding in a scene to explain that away into the movie to make sure it's full.
They said they already had it. They said they already thought about it. They're like, look, we got it, guys. We got it. And they're like, no, you don't. This is bullshit. He's only 190 feet tall. And it's like 190. Like, y'all got it down to that, huh? not even rounding up to 200. Like he was 194. Jesus Christ. Calm down, folks. I'm just hoping by March, all the theaters are open. We still don't have theaters open around me in Chicago and Illinois. But they are saying that we need to quickly open restaurants again now. I don't know why. I don't know what's different, but we're going to open things now. So hopefully it's open by March, because I do not want to see that movie at my house.
Yeah, I'll see it at my house, I'm sure. But
you're going to have to resubscribe, motherfucker.
I'll give them another 30 days. I'll give them another 30 days when that time comes.
I'm telling you, there are shows worth the money to get you in between these movies that will be releasing that you're going to constantly up your subscription back for. Like, there is a handful of good shows. Like, have you seen The Wire? Have you watched The Wire?
Yeah, a long time ago. I probably could use another rewatch of it. I was watching The Raised by Wolves. I got 8 episodes into it.
I haven't watched the 9th yet either.
And like, I haven't watched the
last one. It's the last one. I can't do it. I can't do it.
I haven't watched the 9th one yet, and now I've canceled the subscription, so I know I'm not watching it for 2 months.
Oh, Jesus.
I was watching Barry.
Barry's good.
I like Barry.
There's some really good dramas on there, too. There's Little Sharp Things or something like that, and there's a whole bunch of good dramas. You know, something to watch with the wife.
Tell me about them in March when I when I do Godzilla vs. Kong.
All right, let's get out of entertainment.
Yeah, let's move into some tech news here, and we'll start with what's probably the one that's going to get us rambling on the most, and that's a lot of agencies picking up this last week that the DIA, so Defense Intelligence Agency, there was memos about their use of essentially publicly acquired data in lieu of search warrants.
Yeah, this is some bullshit. This is some straight bullshit.
Yeah, so essentially what they're doing is they're purchasing packets of data from commercially available companies and then scraping all of that data to build cases for the Defense Intelligence Agency. Instead of, say, getting a warrant by proving some kind of probable cause, getting a warrant, and then obligating these companies to give them the data.
So essentially, this is why we say that your data is vastly important to protect. It's not just the fact that it has a monetary value and none of us are getting what our value is worth out of this data. It's also the fact that these companies sell this data. So then the FBI, the, you know, CIA, whatever intelligence agency for this country can just say, well, we don't need a warrant. We could just buy this shit like we're a private company. If private companies have access to this, we got lots of money. So they essentially are taking your money to buy your data to fuck you in the ass with it. Like, this is what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, essentially there. You know, it's your taxpayer money paying for them to buy up extremely large packets of data to use it, you know, without probable cause to just learn more about citizens.
So if you didn't care about the, you know, whatever cents or dollars that you're dropping as you log into your social media every time or you carry your phone, okay, that's one thing. It's one thing. You don't give a shit about the money. You're balling out of control. I get it. But you don't want these agencies just to be able to bundle up and build cases and profiles on people by just acting as if they're a private company without, you know, like when the private companies buy this data, there's nothing really, I don't think, malicious that they're trying to do with it. Per se, like, it is dirty, like they're trying to build these profiles on us so they can market us, but it's all in like the motive of like profit, right? It's greed. It's not like they're not trying to actively hurt your life. They're trying to just siphon as much attention and money out of you as they can. I can understand that. There is no reason that the FBI, the CIA, the NSA are taking this data other than to fuck you. That, like, there is no reason for them to have this data other than to fuck you in the long run. Like, sorry, that's to me that's crossing a line that I can't
Steve, I'm not a terrorist. So really, they're just protecting me from all the other terrorists.
Now you're not a terrorist now. There's a lot of people that weren't terrorists until they walked up them damn steps the other week. you say this shit now. We don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, in the end, like the DIA here gathering this intelligence data through commercial means is not illegal. There was a 2018 Supreme Court ruling that did find in another case that obtaining data from a third-party broker does not require a warrant. So that's essentially what the DIA is still using today as kind of as a precedent, that this is commercially available third-party information that we can purchase. And they don't need a warrant to purchase anything. They don't need a warrant to gather commercially available data. So as long as this stands, it's not illegal. It might sound like an overreach by the government until something happens, right? So there is a representative trying to bring forth a bill called the Fourth Amendment is Not for Sale Act, trying to protect the Fourth Amendment by stating that even purchasing it or even commercial available sources, the government can't use and cannot go obtain without some kind of court provided warrant.
To me there's a little bit of difference. So like if I post something on social media, that's me publicly posting something and it's right. public, it's public information. If they want to
grabbing my location data.
Yeah. Like I have no control over what happens to that. You know, I don't like the fact that these phone companies and everything have this data to sell, and there's no way for me to stop that currently. So the government taking advantage of that right now and saying, well, if you can't stop it, I know you don't like it. Well, we're still going to use it and we're going to do what we want with it until somebody stops us. Like, these are major fucking problems. These are major goddamn issues, you know, and I just like, I'm going to stay flat out. I have respect for police officers. It is a hard job. I believe in law and order. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. But if an FBI agent, an NSA agent, a local beat cop, if they are ever talking to you, it's not because they're your friend. It's not because they're trying to help you. They are trying to fuck you. If you say something or do something in the, you know, little bit of conversation that you're having with this random cop at the grocery store, if you say something that triggers off his law detection sense, he will fuck you right there in the grocery store and not give a shit. So just remember that. If they are taking your data, if they are asking you questions, if they are buddy-buddying up to you, it is not because they want a new friend. They are looking to fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to always just err on the side of privacy.
Yeah, no, sir, you cannot come in. I will talk to you on my porch. What do you need to know? Are you done? I'm going back inside. Like, that is my life.
So this just goes down the trend that we've talked about a lot here is the fact that, you know, what these companies do with our data. We should all want some level of data legislation, whether it's because you want to get paid for your data, which I think would be swell if I received a check for my data. But in the end, that's not the main reason why I want to see data legislation. It is just because...
Gee willikers, beef.
I'd like to know what the hell's going on with my data. I'd like to know who it's being sold to, right? If this memo didn't happen to come out...
Well, we usually focus on the profit motive, right? We usually focus on the financial aspect of the data. You know, this is one of the rare stories that we have that show just the overreach of the government with your data now. It's not just a profit motive. Your data has tremendous value in multiple facets of life.
Right.
We should have a right to control that. We should have control over our data.
And again, this is the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, right? Go ahead and pretend like the Russian, Chinese, Iranian, every other defense intelligence agency that's out there doesn't have the same access to this data. And if it was valuable to our country to gather it, it's valuable to other countries.
Well, not even just on the federal level. Act like CPD isn't downloading this shit. Act like your local sheriff doesn't have access to this. Like, at any point, if their budget is big enough to buy data packets, and trust me, these data companies will break it down into just the info that they want. So if you were a sheriff in fucking Saskatchewan or some shit, fucking some data company will say, hey,
you want to know where every male between 18 and 35 is because they're the greatest, you know, perpetrators of crime, then like, no, you can know exactly the location.
They will whittle that info down to a 60-mile radius of Saskatchewan and just give you the packet that you want at the price that you can afford.
Yeah, no, it's an ugly violation of privacy. I tend to believe that this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Like, the Fourth Amendment for search and seizure exists for... It's not there to allow the government to do more. It's there to limit the government. And right now we're giving the government all kinds of loopholes
I wonder how it works to where, like, so say I rent an apartment. You need a search warrant to still come into that apartment, even though I don't own that apartment. Right. I'm just leasing it. So there is a, you know what I mean? It's like a transfer of privacy kind of deal when I sign my lease. Like, I don't own property, so I don't know what's actually in the wording of the leases that don't grant, you know, so like if my landlord can't just say, yeah, go ahead and search their apartment, you know.
Yeah, like, it even extends beyond that, even to like open up a drawer at your office desk that like it's in no way yours. If there was a reasonable expectation of privacy to that space, privacy is the default and a warrant has to be issued. So why is that not the same? Like, why do we not have a reasonable expectation of privacy of our own data, of our own location history, of our own text messages and private messages on Instagram and whatever it happens to be? Why does that not come with that same expectation of privacy? So, like I said, this is just a big backdoor around what the Fourth Amendment. If you look at like the intent, if you try to just imagine the spirit of the Fourth Amendment and what the writers of the Constitution really wanted to accomplish there, it was to make sure that the government never has access to anything that is private to you without a specific purpose. And we're not doing that anymore.
Write an email to your congressman.
So, all right. I think we've beaten this one up. Let's move over to some other government kind of weirdness this week. So Janet Yellen is brand new confirmed. I think she just got confirmed this last week or yesterday.
This
or something.
New administration is wasting no time shaking shit up, bro. And, they're wasting no time.
I mean, I don't think any administration does. Janet Yellen is the Secretary of the Treasury, and she had mentioned leading up to her getting confirmed about the government probably having to step in and curtail cryptocurrencies and the use of cryptocurrencies because it's just pretty much used for illegal financing only. And while some of that might be true, I think it's probably too bold of a statement to say that it's really just a dark web version of currency.
So allegedly, I have bought drugs in the past. allegedly, I have purchased illegal things in my past. You know what I purchased them with? Fucking cash.
Yeah.
Okay? You want to talk about how people buy the most illegal shit? It's fucking cash. See, we're just going to shut cash money down now? Like, the whole reasoning to me is just asinine. Like,
it is. It's just an attack at essentially a currency that the government has no control over. Yes, it can be, and it has been used for various illegal activities. You know, most of like the ransomware attacks that are now extremely prevalent and are a true like threat to the current way of life, the internet way of life here, is most of that is being like the ransoms are being asked for and paid for in Bitcoin. And there are concerns here. But Bitcoin is way more trackable than cash. It's way more trackable than other criminal ways of distributing finances. It doesn't make much sense. It angers me
because anytime the people take a little bit of power back into their own hands, the government always uses this fear tactic or this like, you know, danger to society kind of tactic to get it. You know, with Bitcoin, it's illegal financing. With end-to-end encryption, it's child pornography and child trafficking. It's like anything they want to shut down, they just say, we got to protect the kids, or we got to protect, you know, we got to protect society. We can't have this. You people can't be trusted with this kind of technology. And it's like, I don't know. I lean more towards the side of you can't be trusted with this kind of technology. Like, it's really like with 330 million people in this country, you know, yeah, we have some dirty motherfuckers here, but the scale of dirty shit going on in this country isn't leaning towards the private citizen side. I tend to believe it's leaning more towards the government side.
Yeah. But yeah, you're just following Bitcoin and Ethereum and all these big coins hitting their all-time high. You know, the government steps in and tries to, you know, put a little water on that flame there. and scale it back as
like, oh, y'all out here making money, huh? Nah. Like, nah.
So one of these days we'll have a deeper conversation into cryptocurrency or the technology behind it and it from a, you know, kind of just a nerd standpoint.
Yeah, we need to get a hold of somebody.
This shows maybe a little hint towards the, you know, how our current government officials
If you got a lot of money in cryptocurrency, keep following these stories because it will affect your portfolio.
Yeah, for sure. All right. And then let's talk a little bit of space news. Just real fast, SpaceX launched this last week. It was a record-breaking amount of satellites, spacecraft launched in an individual launch. It was 143 spacecraft launched in a single
Are satellites considered spacecrafts? Like they are. Any object that floats in space is technically it's spacecraft?
That technically meets the criteria there. So
if I'm floating in space, am I a spacecraft? Or does it have to be man-made?
It's probably got to be man-made. If you're in something, then
I'm just trying to hone down the actual definition of it, you know?
But 143 were launched, and this is their first what they're calling like a rideshare mission. You know, this is a part of the SpaceX business model here is historically they've just been launching pretty much at 60 at a time, 90 at a time of their SpaceX Starlink satellites. And here they only launched, I think, 10 of their own satellites and then 133 of the spacecraft were other small satellites that other companies paid for them to launch into orbit. And these were, you know, various weather organizations, some like nonprofit type organizations using satellites to map and do studies on certain areas of the world. But in the end, this is a big part of their overall model is to launch these reusable rockets at essentially, I think it was $1 million per spacecraft or $1 million or more.
I have to imagine that's a good price. If you got to shoot something into space, $1 million, like it seems fair.
Yeah, it was $1 million for... the article stated that it was $1 million for every 200 kilograms of weight. So I don't know, does 200 kilograms get you a small satellite that could do some work for you? Or is that just, you know, that's the price per pound on that 29 cent a pound banana. But you're not getting that bunch of bananas without hitting, without hitting a couple pounds there. I don't know. It's in the end what the overall haul was of an individual satellite. But it sounds, I guess, reasonable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you really needed to get a satellite out there, you're not getting it up there for cheaper than that. So it's probably pretty reasonable. Obviously, 133 companies or 133 satellites paid that fare for this first ride.
Commercialization. This is what, you know, this is what you're a big fan of. So, like, this is SpaceX creating a market. Like, I get it. I'm all for it. Let's keep doing it.
All right. And then I guess we could talk a little bit about some robots.
Yeah, stories, one's fun, one's weird.
Yeah, so we'll go weird first.
Yeah, let's go weird.
First one's weird is that apparently Microsoft has patented essentially a Black Mirror episode, and they have placed patents on a chatbot that can be used to revive or simulate dead relatives. And this was legitimately a Black Mirror episode where somebody created essentially a robot or a bot that mimicked and like responded for somebody who was dead and pretended to be somebody who was dead and this is exactly what Microsoft has patented now. It's a bot that's based on being able to gather images, video, voice data, any social media posts. Essentially, it scrapes everything from an individual that you want to impersonate, and then it builds a perfect bot that it can respond in text messages, have conversations with, in the same kind of voice, catchphrases, way of somebody who is deceased.
I have to, like, my big curiosity is how many data points do they actually need? You know, so like, what are we talking here? You're gonna need some social media presence. So anybody that is pre-social media can't be recreated. Like, how many voice points do you need? How many videos do you need? How many, you know, like, what is the data pack that you need to create an accurate ghost dad?
Yeah. I imagine public figures, they could do even pre-social media era just through...
Possibly, yes,
interviews,
possibly.
Through, you know, whatever's written
out there. But pre-social media, if you're just going by, like, media presence, then you just get the person they were in front of the camera. You know, you scrape the actual home videos and the more personal side of somebody on social media, yeah, you get the giant asshole bot that is Steve that swears at everybody and flies off the handle. Like, so, like, really, you know, what it's only going to be able to mimic what it knows, you know? So how much does it need to know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I still think that, you know, we could still get ourselves like a Richard Nixon bot out here. There's enough interviews and stuff of
major public
figures and stuff out there.
I can see that. You know, we definitely are going to, you know, Tupac will be back at some point. this is what I know. You know, I just, this is a little creepy though. You know, like I miss my dad. But I don't know if I want a robo dad to replace him at any point. Like,
yeah. And a part of this was, you know, they also included in a 2D and 3D models of the people as a part of the chatbot. So it's not just a matter of like, hey, it can, you know, you can, when you're having a drunken, depressed night, you could text message, you know, dad, and it's going to text message back in the same way that
you can put on a VR headset and you can have lunch with this motherfucker.
Or through the images or whatever else, it could just straight deep fake itself into.
But is it going to capture his disappointment in me? Is that's the question? Is it going to really capture his disappointment?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the individual. But you know, apparently this has already happened. There was a company, Luca, that used lines of text message to create a person's friend was killed in a vehicle accident, and they used lines of text message to create a bot that allowed this person to still text and receive text messages back that mimicked exactly how her friend would have responded.
So there's been stories in the past that have come out that really hit you in the feels. You know, some kid, I remember a story coming out where a dude was playing a racing game and his dad's ghost like car, you know, like if you have the best lap on a track, a lot of times it'll put the ghost car up so that you could race against the best time. Well, the best time was his dad. So he would load up this track and he'd race against his dad's car all the time, and he just made him feel good to have that in him. You know, I play a golf game online that has everybody's best like rounds of golf and stuff. And I played, you know, my best friend died last year. I played against him in golf just last week, just because, you know, it was like those kinds of stories do make me feel good that people have these outlets. But is this taking that
this is completely different though.
Like, yeah, is this taking that way too far? You know, like
I'm just playing the round of golf with him, but this is then him text messaging you or videoing you at the real time talking shit about beating you.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, this is a different thing.
I'm sure there's some psychologist somewhere that would find really constructive ways to use technology like this to get people closure and to get like, so in the medical field, I think this is a tool that really could possibly do some good in the long run. Should every random asshole have access to this at their house to do whatever they want with? I really don't think it's a good thing. Cause man, tell me, people are going to do bad shit with it too. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah,
you could haunt somebody. Like, you could legit virtually haunt somebody.
You could haunt somebody for sure. If you could build a profile and actually, you know, somewhat realistically mimic somebody who's dead, it means you could also just mimic the people who are still here, right? Like, it means you could actually build enough to.
I thought you were going to virtual Hitler. I really thought you were going to virtual Hitler there for a second. I was like, yeah, we can make bad people too. Like some white supremacist group, you know, in a church meeting with fucking virtual Hitler up on the TV screen. I don't want that either, you know?
No, I was more going with the fact that. Yeah. Maybe it would be somewhat useful for me to have a bot that's responded to my work emails and stuff in the same tone that I would, especially a lot of the garbage things that are out there. That's the easiest
coding I've ever heard of, you fucking robot. You are a robot.
So yeah, maybe we can work something like that out, but I don't know. This definitely tips the scale on the creepy side far more than the helpful side in my world.
Yeah, I don't like where this can go. I see possible uses, but I don't know if the good outweighs the bad. I really don't.
All right, and then let's go one last robot, one that probably does have more good than bad for sure on this one. And apparently there's a weed-killing robot. You know, the headline in this article is about a weed-killing robot that could make pesticides obsolete. Don't know about all that. But it shows this farm that's essentially some person who has like their own self-sustained little farm with just some sheep and a llama and whatever else, and 10 of these battery-operated weed-killing robots that just patrols his grounds and making sure that there are no invasive plants coming in and
this
garden
is just
or
bringing
else,
us
just
one step
weeds.
Closer to my drone from last week. I'm leaning on doo-doo drone or I'm leaning either on doo-doo drone or what was the other one I had? It was like something with feces. I can't remember right now, but I had two titles for it. I'm working on this tech right now in my head, but we will have the pooper scooper drone. If we could kill if we could kill weeds with tiny drones, we could pick up the dog shit on the street.
I agree. I actually think it's probably something that could be worked out pretty pretty easily. But in the end, this is just an interesting little robot here to go around locating, identifying various weeds or, again, invasive little plant species inside of a garden, inside of kind of crop fields, and just taking care of it. Like, this is the future I want to live in. I don't want to do any yard work.
No.
There's nothing about maintaining a yard that is interesting to me.
Nope. I don't have a green thumb. I'd like to have all that stuff, nice garden, fresh tomatoes for the kids, cucumbers, all that. I have no urge.
Yeah. So if we can get to this point, it makes it more feasible for me to actually have a clean yard. But it's a really cool concept. This little, essentially 12-inch wide robot just driving down the lines of a planted field and just doing maintenance, make sure that the health of the crops are going without human labor for a small farm, a small garden. I think this is spectacular. And I think it's one step closer to, you just got to contact this company and sell them the idea of just using their existing tech to follow around dogs on walks and pick up the poop.
Poop pilot. Turd bird.
Turd bird? <what? laughs> You gotta keep working. Keep working on it.
It's gonna happen. I promise you.
All I know is whatever it has to have like a human like hand on it with the plastic bag on it, and it's got to do the actual just normal gross dog shit picking up motion there.
I don't know, man. I just had to work in a big apartment complex. And put in all these electrical systems and for the last month, and you could not look up when you walked. Let's put it like this. Humans are lazy savages. You had to walk with your head down through that entire complex. Okay. I'm done.
All right. Well, speaking of being done, we're done here. That's the week in news. And I guess a quick thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Hopefully you found some things as new information and entertaining, and go ahead and share this with somebody else and keep growing the community.
Yeah. We still greatly enjoy bringing you your weekly nerd news, keeping everybody informed, trying to shed a light on some important topics that we should all care about. So, please join us again next week.
Until then, nerds, talk to you later.
See ya.